began discussing on Monday the halacha that when someone leaves a home, tenant leaves, he's not allowed to take the mezuzah with him. The Gemara in Bava Metzia actually says somebody did and suffered terrible consequences, deaths in his family. So we began discussing what the reasons for this are. There are three main reasons given by the Rishon. On Monday, we discussed the reason of Tosis, that is dangerous because of Mazikin. The way Tosis says in Bava Metzia is that you can't take it out. Fisha Mazikin, Boin, Babaya Shem, Mezuzah. The Mazikin will infest the house. And when you take away a mezuzah improperly, you're going to cause harm to the incoming residents, incoming tenants, or the landlord himself, I guess, if he moves in. That's Tosis. In Shabbos, Masechah Shabbos, he says that mezuzah shayni shasuy lahatzel min hamazikin, and that's why, even though tzitzis, he says, you can take from one beggar to another beggar, mezuzah you can't take from one house to another house. Even if you want shot of Tosis, even if you're going to put it in a new house, you're going to still be Mekayim in the mitzvah, there's a problem of mazikin. That's one approach. That seems to be the one most poskim accept, la halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, and other poskim accept the idea of mazikin. This halacha is not really brought in Chosh Mishpat, but the Sma mentions it in Yardea. It says, lo yitlenu, and Shulchan Aruch doesn't actually say why, but most poskim understand. Because it brings Tosis, most poskim understand that's the Iker reason. There are two other reasons given in the poskim. One is an ancient child of the She'iltas, other Gaonim, and a number of the Rishonim. They bring that the reason it has to do with Bizui Mitzvah or Bittel Mitzvah. Tosis themselves, when Tosis is Mechadish's idea of Mazikin, Tosis is basically asking that when it comes to Tzitzis, we paskin that you are allowed to take Tzitzis off from one Beged to another Beged. You shouldn't take him off for no reason. It'd be Mevatel Mitzvah Tzitzis from the Beged. You're allowed to take off Tzitzis to transfer from one Beged to another. So why isn't this a different? So one pshat in Tosis is because of Mazikin, a special problem of Mazikin. But the other pshat in Tosis seems to be, and that's the pshat of the She'iltas and other Rishonim, that in the Chanami, the halachas are the same as Tzitzis, and the only time the Gemara says you shouldn't take off a mezuzah and you're punished if you do, that's only if you took it off not to put on a new bias, but the halacha is the same basic halacha, simply of Bizui Mitzvah, of Bittel Mitzvah, and if you take it to put somewhere else, then that's fine. Some posts can say, B'shas Adchak, Mikra Din, you can be Samech on this Shita. L'maisel Chachilo was certainly not. But this is the Shita of a number of major Rishonim. Third idea many of the Achronim bring is the Ritva. Ritva is not entirely clear what he means. He also asks the Kasha, why is it different from Tzitzis? So he says, Mezuzah is different. Kivan D'chola Kedusha Shechina B'bayez Zeh, Ein Lo L'Salka Misham. Mezuzah brings the Shechina into a bias, and you shouldn't unshechina the bias. I'm not wearing a mask. So then, the Gemara says, if you sell the house to a non-Jew, you do take off the mezuzahs. So in Hagufa, why are you allowed to do that? Why are you allowed to sell the house to the guy? Why are you allowed to take off the mezuzahs? You're still taking off the shechina. So maybe the pshat is, you're not mechuyev not to sell the house to a guy, but just because of this, just if you're not selling the house, you shouldn't take off the mezuzah. But yesh lav, and I'll call upon him, that's the ritva, the special kpeda on removing shechina from the house. Some say it's bringing in mazikin, some say it's removing shechina, and some say it's a simple question of bizui mitzvah or bittel mitzvah. Now, the Chosh and Mishpat aspect of this question, besides the fact that you can't take off the mezuzah, which might be a Chosh and Mishpat concern because of the new residence, is, are you allowed to charge for the mezuzah? Is the outgoing tenant allowed to say, look, I'm leaving the mezuzah, but I want to get paid for it? We can really ask two ways. The poskim, the Rishonim and Achronim, who say you can charge, there are really two ways to look at charging. You can charge the landlord, you can charge the incoming tenant, whoever he is. The Lashon of the Ritva is, the Ritva is Mesupik, the Ritva says, Miyu Efsher Shechayev Baal HaBayis and Farad Dameha. Ritva seems to be discussing the Baal HaBayis is Chiyuv and he's Mesupik, maybe you can charge. The Beis Yosef and Yaradeya brings the idea of charging from a Rabbeinu Manoach. The Beis Yosef says, Kasa Rabbeinu Manoach, then a Marishon Machpid Al Dameha, Tov L'Shal Malav L'Ein Motzin. Ritva's Mesupik, Rabbeinu Manoach says, it's good that he should pay him for it, but Ein Motzin. The Ramah
from the Baal HaBayis?
So that's a good question. The Lashon of Rabbeinu Manoach is not entirely clear. The Ramah in Yardea, when he brings this halacha, the Ramah says, Im hikpid al ma'oseha, hasheni tzarech l'shalim lo. So first of all, he says tzarech. So all that Achronim shtel on the fact that the Rabbeinu Manoach's text as brought in the Beis Yosef is tov l'shalim lo aval ein matzin. The Ramah says tzarech. So there are other Rishonim who might use the word Tzarech, but Beis Yosef didn't bring them. The Ramah usually doesn't bring Shittas that are not in the Beis Yosef or Darkei Moshe. So in any event, the Ritva says Efsher, Rabbeinu Manach says Tov and Ein Matzin, the Ramah says Tzarech, but also...
No, it means that the previous tenant doesn't...
But the point you raised is also, that's the thing also, the Ramah adds the word Hasheni Tzarech L'shalmo. The implication of the Ramah is that it's the incoming resident, new second tenant, or the landlord if he moves in, it's the new resident who has to pay. That's also the language of the Bach. The Bach in Yeridaya says, the Bach brings Tosfos that the problem is Mazikin, that if you take Mezuzahs out, it's like you're causing harm to the incoming resident. Ulufizeh, he says, Chayev haba lodr bebeso achrav. He says Chayev also. Chayev, not Efsher. He says Chayev, not Tov. He says Chayev haba lodr bebeso achrav l'shan l'rishon. Tnei Mezuzah, b'chein kazer b'nei manach. He also understood that the chiyuv is on the incoming resident to pay the outgoing resident who is leaving his mezuzah behind. And the truth is, working within Tosfos' idea, the Bach connects these two things. Since the point is you're saving him from hezek, he's the one who should have to pay you. And the truth is, both in the question of, within the sheet of Tosfos, saving from hezek, doing the favor, as well as the question of who you can charge, both of them can really be phrased in terms of either the landlord or the incoming resident. When I stop Mazikin from coming into the house, I'm saving the incoming tenant from getting damaged by Mazikin. I'm saving the house. I'm saving the landlord's house from becoming infested with Mazikin. You can learn that's a tova for the landlord. The truth is, I find it very hard to understand why Bechlal should be considered a tova to the Socher. Let's say the house would be Hefker, and I put Mazikin in there. So someone has a taina to me that, well, I was going to move in there, and now I'm going to get damaged. So don't move in if you don't want to get damaged. It's not a secret during no mezuzahs here. If you're worried about mezuzahs, don't move in. On Monday, we discussed a little bit the Rishon LeZion, the Arachayim HaKadosh's Ha'ara. He just wants to know, why Bechlal is there a problem Mazikin if I take the mezuzah off? You'll put a mezuzah on when you come in. So he says it doesn't work like that, because once they get in, they're harder to get out, he says. That you can't just chase them out with a mezuzah. You can stop them from getting in by leaving it on, but you can't chase them out as easily. Good. So even if we accept that that's the way mazik can work, fine. But Sof Kol Sof, how is it a taina that I'm mazik you? Who asked you to come in? You don't want to come in? Don't come in. I mean, I'm mazik you because you chose to come in, even though there's mazikin. So if we look at it from the landlord, then it's much easier to understand. The landlord has a house. Right now, my mezuzah is keeping out the mazikin. I take it away, the mazikin can come in. So you can understand that's more of a hezek to the house. So the landlord, I understand much easier why it's called a hezek to him. So some of the achronim understand, though, that we're really working with a hezek to the tenant, or Nassim Gestetner in Laharos Nassim has a series of tshuvas, several pages on the sugya. He's very busy with the idea of hezek to the tenants. He goes through the whole sugya of Mavriach Ari. I'm saving them from a hezek, I'm only Mavriach and Ari, but the Rishonim say if it's Bari Hezekah I have to pay, if the hezek I'm saving from is certain or near certain I have to pay, maybe the hezek of Mazikin is near certain. A little hard to understand. It doesn't, who knows? We don't know how Mazikin work, but it seems odd to say it's Karav L'Vadai that Mazikin are going to come in and cause Hezek, but, you know, I guess we don't understand how these things work. But, you know, another horror I would raise against this whole Mahalach that is considered an actual Hezek that I'm saving the incoming resident from is, we discussed, I think, once or twice in the past, there is Bechlal, a whole discussion in Choshen Mishpat, whether... in the Sugya of Grama, whether a supernatural spirit, a hezek that cannot be explained by Derech HaTeva, that comes Derech Skula, even if I damage somebody by cursing him, by magic, there's a shayla in the poskim, whether that's considered a Maisa Hezek or only some form of Grama. Well, Chila could be you still shouldn't do it, but the Laharas Nassan, and certainly you shouldn't do it, but the Laharas Nassan is discussing whether you could be Mechayev him to pay because I saved him from a hezek. Not so pashut that you actually saved him from a hezek, but dinei chashen mishpat, that's called saving from a hezek. Yesh ladun. But in any event, Rabbi Gestetner has another way of looking at it, but that instead of saying I saved you from the hezek, we could just say I saved you from the cost of a mezuzah.
Yeah, I was wondering why.
That's pashut you're saying.
Because maybe
that sounds like a much more simple.
Because he can't force someone to do a mitzvah, not in Malka.
That's true, but Lamaisa, if it's clear that he would do it, and everyone does, even if maybe it's not my business to force him, but if it's clear that he needs it, and every Ben Yisrael who goes into a house puts in a mezuzah, so there are a few horrors. First of all, some posts can point out if that's the argument, or it could be even the first horror, but Chalkas Yaakov, for example, points out that it could be I can only charge him the cost of a baseline, you know, b'dievet kosher mezuzah. If mine is more mehudar, certainly he could say that could be stam true according to all the pshatim, yeah. But you know, I mean, it might not necessarily be totally strictly on this, but it's a little bit like a piece in the Marsham. I always like to quote. The Marsham was asked, Mishpat Shalom, he says he was asked, there were two Shutfin, and there was some impending catastrophe that was facing the Shutfus, some kind of legal problem, or some kind of serious problem that the Shutfus was facing. So one Shutuf expended money, he traveled, I think, to Rebus to get a bracha for the Shutfus. He didn't have a chance, he didn't ask the other Shutuf, he spent money to get Rebus to daven, to a certain Rebbe to daven for the Shutuf, for the Shutfus. And he wanted to bill the Shutfus the cost. He wanted the other guy to bear his half of the cost. So, how do you think the Marsham Paskin? How do you think he approached it to Shaila? He doesn't discuss Bechlal whether the bracha worked, it doesn't work. He says, you have to be done whether this is something that, if either minhag is something people do or don't do. If it's something people do, you have to pay for it, because that's al das kain, that's considered a normal expense, and if not, not. So he says, Befrat, he says, if the other shutuf, if it's not so, if it's not universally done, Befrat, he says, if the other shutuf is one of them, he calls them the misnagdim to these to the tzaddik in question. He doesn't use the word chassid and rebbe, but he does use the word misnagid. In any event, yes, sometimes we approach things from that perspective, not whether we know it works or not, but if it's something that people see as something that needs to be done, you can charge for it. If not, not. And certainly, mezuzah, one could certainly argue that my right to charge is not because I'm saving you from the hefsid. My right to charge is because I'm saving you from the cost of a mezuzah. So again, that could apply to the tenant, because the mezuzah is chavas hadar. If I can tell the new tenant, you would have to put up a mezuzah, I saved you that cost. That would not apply to the landlord as much, because the landlord we pass does not have a chiyuv to put up a mezuzah, calls man, the house is empty. Okay, the landlord can maybe tell the landlord a house with a mezuzah, maybe will fetch a slightly higher rent. It probably won't. I don't think most tenants seriously consider whether there already are mezuzahs in determining the rent. So this kind of svara that I saved you the cost of putting up a mezuzah would seem to be more applicable if you're being done mitzad the incoming tenant than the landlord. Kalpan, on the other poskim, the poskim discuss these different lishonos in the poskim, in the rishonim, the kadmonim, whether it's chayev, tzarech, efsher. And it's a bit of a mavuch in the poskim as to whether you can demand payment or not. Some poskim say that if he doesn't want to pay you, l'chal apachas, what you can do is take off the old mezuzahs if they're expensive ones and put on new ones and put on cheap ones before you leave, because you worry about mazik and I'm going to keep it covered the whole time. I'm not leaving you without a mezuzah. But I don't have to leave you these. I don't have to leave you these mezuzahs. I can leave you other mezuzahs.
Do you say bracha? A new bracha if you do that?
If you replace the mezuzahs? I'm not absolutely sure about that. I have to look into that.
What do you think? There's
one other very important point, and this is something we should discuss probably later at greater length, but just to touch on it now, one other issue that the Achronim raise regarding this question of whether the, in Svara, in Lumdus, whether the outgoing tenant should have the right to charge either the incoming tenant or the landlord for the mezuzah, is there's a general question discussed by the poskim. A tenant who makes improvements in the house, maybe he puts in a new lock, maybe he paints the house and puts in a new carpet, let's even have permission from the landlord. So can he charge the landlord, if he makes up any deal, how they'll share the cost, he tells the landlord, I'm going to put in $1,000 of work, and why don't you pay me $500? If they agree, they agree, obviously. But if they don't agree, the tenant unilaterally goes ahead and makes some improvements on the property, let's even say he had rishus. Let's say his contract, usually the contract says nothing should be done without permission from the landlord. Let's say the landlord gave him rishus, let's say the contract didn't say that, and he went ahead and did it anyway. But there's no question the landlord is benefiting. Now, obviously, if whatever he did wears off by the time he leaves the house, if he puts on a coat of paint and he stays there for another 5 years and the paint is back to where he started, then obviously there's no taina. But let's say whatever he did remains with the house after he leaves, like the mezuzah. The tenant puts in the mezuzah and stays there. So normally we know the rule is, hayari l'tok sada chaveru, even shalo brishus, if I go ahead and I unilaterally, without any permission, any contract, go ahead and make improvements in someone else's property, I can send that person a bill. He can say, take it back, tole tzechav avanach, I don't need it. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But in general, if he doesn't say that, if he keeps it and uses it and benefits from it, then he has to pay me for it. How much he has to pay, so you later, but he has to pay. So that's one way to look at it. That's why the tenant should have the right to say, I put in a mezuzah, I improve the house. Let's say it makes more sense for the landlord than the future tenant, but he should be able to say, I improved your house. Now the house has a mezuzah installed. It's an upgrade. So pay me for it. So again, you have to know if does the price of the house really go up because it has a mezuzah. It's a relatively small improvement, so it's not so pasha to be able to charge for that, because it's not clear that you'd be able to say the house is now has a market value of worth more, but potentially at least you could claim that you want money for the upgrade. Meidach Gisa, this is a very complicated shaila, which is very unsettled as a matter of halacha. Some poskim argue, based on the principles of Zenen of Zelo Chaser, that anything the tenant does, he didn't invest anything extra for the sake of the landlord. He would have had to do exactly the same thing, even if it would have been gone by the time the landlord left, for himself, for his own needs. This is what he had to do. And it didn't cost him anything more to benefit the landlord too. So some poskim argue, this is Zenem Zelo Chaser, and you can't charge. Well, the regular case of Yared is when I go over to your property, I don't get anything out of it. I do it simply for you. For whatever reason I did it for you, and I charge you for it. I send you the bill. But here, where the tenant does it primarily for himself, he needs a mezuzah, even though he knows it's going to stay. He knows the halacha. He knows he can't take it away, and it's going to stay there for the landlord. But l'maisi, he did it for himself. So this is a major topic, which, again, I'd like to return to on a later date. Ezra's Hashem, this is a major topic, whether in such cases you're allowed to charge as a yared, or do you say, l'maisi, zenen of a zelo chaser, and you can't charge anything. You have to just leave it there. You wouldn't be entitled to charge.